The spotlight on head injuries in sports has grown more intense in recent years. Last fall, the NFL settled for $765 million in a class action lawsuit by former players over concussions. The case was heard in Philadelphia. And last week, a Mississippi father filed a federal class action lawsuit on behalf of all student athletes, asking colleges and high schools to provide better information on concussion risks. And it's not just football, of course. Many of the sports Americans love, hockey, soccer, cheerleading, risk jolts to the head that can lead to concussions. That's when the brain rocks inside of the skull. And what researchers have learned about the serious and long-term consequences of concussions has spawned heated discussions about the risks of playing sports. Is it worth it? When to sit out? When to return?
It was the playoffs, so I was like, I gotta help my team, I gotta go back in.
I'm not gonna lie, I threatened kids to tell me the truth. It was, hey, if you really screw this up, you could die.
Trying to change how games are played to avoid collisions has proved difficult and controversial. Some are searching for a magic bullet, better equipment. Several companies market claims to young athletes that their helmets could be the better mousetrap. But do any helmets really cut down the risk of concussion? The Pulse's Alana Gordon looked into the research, and what she found was not so encouraging.
At Schuylkill Valley Sports in Easton, Pennsylvania, Mike Morris estimates 2 to 3 high school football players per team have come in to buy their own more expensive helmets this past season.
Well, they're looking to minimize the risk of getting a concussion.
But what can newer helmets actually do, and are they worth the extra money? That's what a lot of parents and athletes were asking Allison Brooks. She specializes in sports medicine at the University of Wisconsin. So she designed an observational study tracking over 1,000 high school football players last year who wore 3 of the most common helmets, including some of the newest models. She parsed out the number of reported concussions based on helmet brand, model, and age to see if there was any big variation. There wasn't.
You know, as best we can tell, they all adequately do what they were designed to do, which is prevent skull fracture, prevent intracranial bleeds, prevent, you know, superficial scalp and face injuries, but there's not any evidence that any one of them is particularly going to reduce your concussion risk.
Brooks' findings are preliminary, and again, totally observational, so they don't account for other possible external factors. But generally speaking, researchers don't know how effective helmets are when it comes to concussions in kids ages 5 to 21. Christy Arbogast and Susan Margulies reviewed all the evidence to date for a recent Institute of Medicine report. Margulies, a bioengineer at the University of Pennsylvania, says part of the challenge is the science behind concussions isn't there yet. There's no standard, objective way for actually identifying and reporting them.
Evidence that a concussion has occurred is really entirely based on the athlete saying that I think I've had a head injury.
So imagine trying to diagnose an ACL tear and come up with a rehab plan solely based on the athlete's description of knee pain rather than an MRI, where the actual injury can be objectively visualized. The Institute of Medicine report points to another major challenge when it comes to identifying concussions: the culture of sports and the resistance to reporting injuries.
Get it up, pump your arm, drive it!
I stopped by one of Concord High School's football practices this fall in Wilmington, Delaware, and talked with coaches and players about how they deal with possible injuries like concussions.
Let's go, 2 and 3!
Here's George Kasanovich, also known as Coach K.
Probably the most important thing, and what we preach to the kid, you have to be honest.
Kasanovich says schools have much better protocols nowadays, thanks to better education. If a concussion is even suspected on the field, a player's out and can't return without a physician's note. But the mindset of Kasanovich isn't universal, and athletes also face a lot of pressure to hide injuries. Seniors Patrick Crowley and Keon Powell are Concord's co-captains. Both have suffered from concussions in the past and had to sit out for several weeks.
Some of the worst people to talk to about that are like your teammates and your friends, because they're always going to want you to go out there no matter what you're feeling like or anything. They always want you to go play just because, you know, we're young and they think nothing's going to happen.
It's basically just about like the pride of it. Like, you don't want to see your teammates just like, you want to sit on the sidelines, anything like that. You always want to be out there and helping your teammates.
So did you ever find that you wanted to fudge things?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to go back, and I think I did go back like a good week early, because, like, as soon as I got that first hit when I came back to practice, like, I felt it.
It makes the job of the school's athletic trainer, Scott Clubundi, even trickier.
I'm not going to lie, I threaten kids to tell me the truth.
He doesn't joke around.
It was, hey, if you really screw this up, you could die.
Going back to the role of helmets, they do protect against head injuries like skull fractures, but relying on them to prevent concussions is problematic for another reason, the limitations in how they're assessed. Christy Arbogast with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia says helmet standards and effectiveness have historically been based on a drop test.
They take a helmet, they put a humanoid head form, a plastic rubber head form in the helmet, and they drop it a given height and measure its acceleration. And there are thresholds below which every helmet must meet.
But in the real world, you don't always hit your head in a straight line that way. Arbogast and Margulies, who co-authored that part of the Institute of Medicine report on concussions and helmets, say the manner and direction your head moves are big factors in developing a concussion, too.
We know it's a combination of linear movements along a straight line and rotational movements.
Nodding your head yes versus I don't know are two rotational motions.
But we don't know the specific level, the magnitude of those movements.
They could have very different risk associated with concussion.
And those risks could vary based on a kid's age and individual experience. Both say the science just hasn't caught up with the product development.
And so without that fundamental data, we can't really answer a question about whether a given helmet protects against concussion or not.
Current helmets may mitigate rotational accelerations, but we're not measuring it now.
Even so, concussion specialists often caution against relying on a helmet to prevent or lessen the risk of getting a concussion anyway. Again, here's Christy Arbogast.
The helmet isn't all of the story here. We need to understand how particular practice methods or aspects of the game might be able to be modified to protect the head.
Arbogast says that includes teaching different tackling techniques and developing strategies that go well beyond the playing field in terms of education and following up for when a concussion occurs to ensure a full recovery. For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.
Get him off, good. Okay. Come on. Not bad. Don't stop, Rob. Get him, John. Get him, fight him.